For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, December the 1st, 2019, Dion Nichols is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Rooted and Built Up in Jesus.
Well, it's been a good camp meeting to me. God's awesome in this place. It never ceases to amaze me what God does in this little place right here. Over the years, I've seen God change. Lord, we're not here, but here. Here we go. This will work. I heard Randy say, "You're not here by accident." And I'm so thankful that I know that. I'm thankful that God brings the ones here that are ready, that are willing, that are seeking the answers for their lives. I've wrestled with this morning's, and I think I'm going to start here. I want you to know I'm not a noted speaker. You didn't know that, did you? That means I don't use notes. And I'm not a noted speaker. I'm just a vessel that seeks to be yielded to the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I used to tell people that I am God's full-time job. He runs the universe in His spare time. I'm His full-time job. I am God's Humpty Dumpty. You kids know about Humpty Dumpty? You do? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. This is a fairy tale or something of that sort. But it said Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty took a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. I want you to meet Humpty Dumpty. That's me. But that's where the fairy tale stops. But God carries it further than that. All the king's horses and all the king's men, and I've been to a lot of them, brother. None of them can fix Dion. I can't fix Dion. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put me together again, but God can. The king can. And when He steps in, and He takes that yielded vessel, He takes you, I want to say in your mess. Amen. He takes the blasted remains of what we try to put together. And we try to engineer what we think God wants us to be a lot of times. We try to be what somebody else does. This is the way they do it. If I could just be like Randy.
Now you want to be like me.
Oh, if I could just be like Kevin. He's so quiet. You hardly ever know Kevin's around. You got to watch for him. But he's so quiet. Or if I could be like, oh my. If I could play the piano like Ray does. I play the piano for my own amazement. If I could sing like Kim, or like Deborah. Oh, they bless my soul. They bless my spirit. When they stand and the anointing begins to flow through them and the words come out and they're so beautiful. They got it together. I sing my letter. I just open up and let her fly. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. But it's a joyful noise. Somebody says, yeah, I know. Somebody says, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, sounds like a duck, it must be a duck. Well, I read in the Word of God where the Scripture says, and don't get offended when I say this, Well, I better clean it up just a little bit, okay? It talks about the donkey and Balaam. And the dumb donkey. I'm not the first dumb donkey that God spoke through. Okay? So he can speak through me. I try to put it together. I try to get this thing organized like Randy and like some of the others have, where they can set up here and just, I mean, it just flows through them. It don't work for me. God told me to open my mouth and he'll fit it. And if he don't do it, folks, you might as well stay at home. I got a lot of stuff to say. I can talk more and say less than anybody you ever seen in your life. But if God says it, if God can take something out of nothing and make something to feed God's people, then he does that. What I need to speak is the Word of God, so that you can be fed, so that you can be exalted and built up in him. If you come for so many years, people have promoted preachers and put pastors on pedestals. And they wanted them to be perfect. I'm perfect, all right. I'm perfectly messed up. But they want to look up to them. That's not what it's about. Somebody's come up here one this morning, I think it was. And they were sitting there and they says, I'm around all these great men and women of God. I just want to be... No. I'm not a great man of God. I'm just a man that has a great God. It's not me, it's him. If he didn't live through me, I couldn't do nothing. He takes the foolish things, the donkeys. I'm not calling you a donkey, I'm calling me a donkey, okay? He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And he wants to do it through you, just like he does through me or anybody else. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the very faith of the Son of God. I don't even have to have my own faith, Kevin. I have to use his. Because when I'm using his, guess what? My faith is limited to what I have seen and what I have come to understand and what I have witnessed and what I have experienced in my life. And most of us can't see God outside of what we know him to be. And he is so much more than that. Your faith is in direct proportion. That means it's got the same amount for some of you that don't understand redneck. Oh, that wasn't redneck, but okay. Your faith is in direct proportion to the amount of knowledge you have of whatever it is you have faith in. All of y'all got faith in those chairs because as soon as you come in, you didn't ease down on them. You just come in, fell on it. You trusted it because you know it's built out of steel and it's well, and you've seen other people sit in it, and you've seen people, well, I'm gonna quit before I get drunk. So you've got faith in it because of what you know. So the more you know about God, the more faith you've got. But it's still limited. The Word says that God gives to every person, every man, every woman, a measure of faith. So we've got enough faith to believe if we choose to. We've got enough faith to receive if we choose to. But Jesus had perfect knowledge of the Father. Think about this. He had perfect knowledge of the Father. He knows the awesomeness of God. He don't just know about it. He knows it. He become one with it. And so he has perfect knowledge of the Father. That's why he could speak the things and know that what he said was going to come to pass. Because he knew the Father. If we get to a place where we know the Father that way, if we can get to the place where we become one with the Father, one with His Word, and we can understand that God watches over His Word to perform it. He said, I have exalted my Word above my name. And He watches over it. I can't make this thing work. I don't have to. He does. What I've got to do is say it. I've got to use my tongue and my mouth, and I've got to say it. And Kim, if I say it enough, guess what? I begin to believe it. So when I say what God says, and not what I see, not what I feel, not what I hear, not what's going on around me, when I say what God says, it comes out of my mouth, and it has creative power. It goes into my ears, and then it goes into my heart, and it plants a seed of faith. There's a process going on here. It comes out of my mouth, into my ears, and into my heart. Do you know that there's nothing in your heart besides what you put there? Because to start with, it was just a blank field, a fertile ground. So when I speak God's Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when I speak God's Word, it comes out of my mouth, goes into my ear, goes into my heart, and it plants a seed of faith. And when that seed produces, it brings forth multiple seeds, not just the same amount. But the opposite is true. Whatever I say, whether it's faith or fear, it don't take long to be around somebody before you realize what's going on in their heart.
Amen.
Because out of their mouth it's going to come.
Amen.
If they're sports nuts, I mean sports fans. How many in here like Cowboys? One.
How about
two.
Them Cowboys?
She's talking about the ones with horses.
Oh, I like the ones with horses too. Then it gets out there on the field and back acts like horses. I don't feel. I'm not impressed. Come on. Help me, Lord. Let me back out of here. That is not my field of expertise. I'm a fisherman. Let me rephrase it. I'm a fisher of men. I go fishing every now and again. And I used to really enjoy it until I got 12 boys on the boat and I spent hours and hours and hours untangling lines and baiting hooks and taking fish off and stopping the arguments and all of that stuff. And I got to where I just didn't enjoy fishing anymore. Because it's a war zone. But I enjoy the presence of the Lord. I enjoy speaking His Word and seeing it come alive in the hearts and the lives of those that He puts it in. I can't put it there. I've got to speak it. I've got to plant it. Years ago when I had the boys home, I found out that I am the most believable person there is on the face of the earth. Not to them. Because I could see those boys doing something and I'd say, Mr. T, why'd you do that? Mr. T's pat answer, I don't know, sir. Mr. T, didn't you know I was going to catch you? Yes, sir. Mr. T, don't you know that you're going to get in trouble for that? Yes, sir. Well, why? I don't know, sir. But there were others that I would see them doing something, and I'd say, why'd you do that? I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But I seen you do it. I didn't do it, Brother T. Hoffman. It wasn't me. I lived with not me for so many years that I do what? Yeah, the devil made me do it. Lil Wilson got rich off the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. But I found out that they really believed that what they said, they convinced themselves. They counteracted the truth that I said with their lie, and they believed their lie. Now, there's a principle here. If you will take every thought that comes into your mind and bring it captive or into obedience to Christ, into what His Word says. And then when the thought comes, if you say what God's Word says instead of what the devil's thought is, comes out of your mouth, comes into your ear, and plants the seed of faith in your heart. But if you open your mouth and let that thought come out, if you put your mouth in motion before you put your brain in gear. Jesus says, you will have whatsoever you want. Come on, help me. I mean, it's a long time to midnight, folks. So you either help me and we'll get through this, or we'll be here for a while. So Jesus says, you will have whatsoever you... Say. You what? Say. Whatever you say. Remember, the power, we hear this all the time. The power of life and death is in my tongue. My tongue is like the rudder on a ship. Whatever I say is the direction it carries my life. And it's up to me to choose. I have to understand what God's Word says. David says, He said, Thy Word, O God, have I hid in my heart. For what reason? That I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word. So when His Word is hidden in my heart, if the enemy gives me a thought of something that's contrary to the Word of God, I bring that into obedience to Christ and I say what God says and not what I see. Somebody said, well, you don't understand my circumstances. Think about it. What is circumstances? Anybody tell me? I know Randy can, but he's out of this. The word circumstances comes from the word circumference. Have you ever heard somebody say, stay out of my space? You're in my space. Everywhere I go, there's a circle or a space around me. That's the circumference around me. And it's what is circumstances means, the things that are standing in that circumference around me. Pretty simple. So the devil propped up, stands up, things in my circumstances, in the circumference, in the circle around me, that screams, it ain't true, it don't work for you. But God says it does. So I have to say what God says, regardless of what I see standing around me, regardless of what I hear saying that it don't work, I've got to say what God says. I call that which is not, because I can't see it. All I can see is my circumstances. All I can see is the place that I'm in right now. And I'm desperate. I need help! Do you need help? Can you do it by yourself? So I have to call that according to God's Word, which is not, And the reason I say it's not is because I can't see it because there's too much stuff standing around me saying that it's not real. But I've got to call that which is not as though it were, and it shall be, because out of my mouth comes the Word of God, and God watches over His Word to perform it every time. He never fails. David said, I was once young. And I was. You can't believe it, look at him now, but I was. And now I'm old, and I know you can't tell by looking at that either, can you? But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His seed breaking bread. And I can say more than that. I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never been forsaken. He's always been. Has there ever been times when I felt like He wasn't there? Yeah. But feelings are tied to what? What? My circumstances, the things that are standing around me. But my faith is in God. My faith is in His Word, that He watches over it and He will perform it every time. Maybe not in my time, because I don't know about you. But when I want it yesterday. I don't want to wait till tomorrow, kid. I just don't. I want patience and I want it now. And when you want that, you know what you get? You get tribulation. You say, well, you're not saying anything. I'm not trying to say anything new. I'm just trying to stir up the gift that God has placed within you so that you can walk the way that God calls you to walk, so that you can become what God wants you to be. If God wants you to be His Humpty Dumpty, be the best Humpty Dumpty He's got. Say what He says. Guard your tongue. Do I have a problem with this? Yes, sir. But I have to put it to death. I have to crucify it. I have to go back over and over and over again until I get right. You keep doing it. When you fall down, you don't just lay there. If these children had just laid down when they fell and tried to start walking, they'd still be laying on the floor. Look where she is now. Oh, that's one of them. She can walk. But they get up. So it's not a matter if we stumble or fall. It's a matter how long are we going to lay there and wallow in it before we get up and say what God says? I preached one time that, and I used to do this, okay? I used to go to the Lord and I'd say, oh, Father, I'd bawl and squall and sling snot and just, you know, Lord, help me. Lord, the devil is doing so much stuff to me. I just can't handle it. Lord, help me. And I could just picture one time Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Go back to the microphone, please.
I don't like these things. But I could just picture Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He looks down, and Dion's down there. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. The devil's just doing me so bad. And Jesus looks at the Father and He says, Father, you see Dion? Oh, see, I see him. He said, the devil's just tormenting him. Father says, yeah. He said, I feel like the heavens brass. God's not hearing me because He's not doing anything. He's letting the devil just run over me. So the next day, here I go again. Second verse. Come in quietly, sit down first. Lord, the devil's just Jesus is Father. The devil's just working him over. Oh, yeah. And then one day, Dion gets sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I stand up and I say, devil, leave me alone. Back off. And I can see Jesus just stand up and walk over to the edge and say, you heard him, devil, now. It's in the authority of my words. When I say what, when God gives you the authority, he don't want you to start saying, Lord, will you do this? He's already done it. He wants you to act on it. He wants you to take that authority. Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And he said, behold, I give to you. Not to the preacher. I mean, he gives it to the preacher, but he gives it to you. He gives it to you. I give you the power and the authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing, I don't care what it is, whether it's sickness, whether it's demons, whether it's people, nothing has control over you. You stand up and you take that authority, and when you use it, God backs it up. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in. Somebody says, well, does that mean what I bind on earth is in heaven? No. That means that when I bind it on earth, heaven backs me up. When I run down the road at 90 miles an hour, I know I ain't supposed to do that. And them little red lights come on, and that big smoky bear comes up beside my door and says, hey, son, you're going a little bit faster, wouldn't you? I'm going to take you to jail. The state of Texas backs him up. All the resources that he needs is behind him. All the authority that he needs is behind him. And when you, not the preacher, not somebody else, when you take that authority, the authority is in the name of Jesus. It's not in Dion. I don't come against the enemy in the name of Dion. I'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. Jesus, I know, they told him. Paul, I know. But who are you? And I don't like go home, Nikki. Especially after I got beat up. But that's what happened to Seven Sons of Sceva. So God says, you take the authority and I will back it up. All of heaven's resources is behind you. I used to do a lot of what I called spiritual warfare. I'd go to the church. I get a picture of this because it's still real. I'd go to the church and I'd get out there and I'd start walking around the altars. And I'd start doing spiritual warfare. Now I understand I was shadow boxing. But I started doing spiritual warfare. And I'd scream and I'd holler and I'd bind the devil in Jesus' name. And just go on and on and on and on and on. And one day the Lord says, son, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing spiritual warfare, Lord. He said, you are? I said, yes. He says, why are you hollering? The devil's not dead. I said, because it makes me feel good. He says, yeah, it makes you feel good. But it ain't accomplishing nothing. He said, I want you to know something. All of your commotions that you're doing, all your physical stuff, and all of that stuff, it's not doing a whole lot of good. But you feel good, get you something to do, occupy your time. But he said, I want you to know the name of Jesus on the weakest child of God's lips. Think about this. The name of Jesus on the weakest child of God's lips sends a tsunami through the spirit realm. When you whisper Jesus, when you whisper Jesus, it sends a tsunami, it sends a tidal wave through the spirit realm. It's not about how loud I can get. It's not about how much I can jump. It's not about how much I can let the devil have it. It's knowing the authority and the power that is in the name of Jesus. And when you think about it, that dear little old saint that sits in her prayer closet and says, Jesus. And you see the tidal wave begin to go through. Father, save my grandchildren. Father, in Jesus' name, I send angels to do the warfare. And that authority sends that tidal wave through there. And demons begin to fall. It's in the name of Jesus. All the authority. And it's not in my righteousness. Come on. It's not in how good I am or how righteous I am, because my righteousness is just filthy rags. It's in the name of Jesus, and I understand that it's because of Him and what He done on the cross of Calvary. And then He gave it to me. And He gave it to you. He gave it to anyone that chooses to be His child and say, Father, here I am. Use me, Lord. And the most important thing there is the prayer closet, besides the Word of God. But you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to take that control and that authority, and know that you can whisper the name of Jesus. I don't have to scream it. I do. A lot of times I do. I said I do. There's a lot of times I scream and holler. But I've got to know in my spirit, in my heart, that if all I've got the strength to do is whisper the name of Jesus, that it's going to send that tidal wave through the spirit realm. And the demons begin to tremble. The demons begin to topple. The things that the enemy has tried piled up against you begins to tumble down. Because of who He is. It's not because of who I am. My righteousness is of Him. And the Word says, I heard this, I think somebody said, I think Randy said it the other night. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. Now, wait a minute. That don't say no weapon is going to be formed against you. It just says no weapon that is formed against you. There's going to be weapons formed against you. But it's not going to prosper. There's going to be people that talk about you. There's going to be people that call you names. There's going to be people that make fun of you. But it says no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that's raised against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage. What is heritage? That means that's something that I inherit that I didn't work for. My heritage is of the Lord. No weapon. No gossip. No lies is going to prosper. It's not going to succeed. It may happen, but you'll condemn it. For this is the heritage of the children of the Lord, and our righteousness. Our righteousness is not some vague something, the other, some big old something that we got to look like and be. Righteousness is simply right standing with the Father. I'm in right standing with the Father because I come in Jesus. I can't come into the presence of a holy God because I'm not perfect. But in Jesus, when He's my covering, when I get inside of Him and He covers me, then I can go boldly to the throne of grace. I can go boldly to the throne of grace because I know that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And when the Father looks at me, thank God, Kim, He don't see Dion. He sees His Son, Jesus. Years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant in Decatur, Texas. It was a little triple nickel barbecue, I think it was. And there's a big red and white Coca-Cola truck pulled up outside. And I was sitting there, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, this big truck pulled down beside it. And it had this big red bug shield on the front of that truck. And I was amazed as that bug shield, that red bug shield, went past that red truck. It looked like it was white. It had a white stripe. Wherever that bug shield was, it was white. Then I realized what Isaiah was talking about. He said, "Come now, let us reason together. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." All of a sudden I understood what He was talking about. When the Father shines the light of His love on me and it goes through the blood of Jesus, all of my stupidity, all of my ignorance, all of my thoughts and all of my failures become white as snow. The blood of Jesus makes me white as snow. And then a few years later, my dad was sitting in, and this has been years ago that he was doing this, in Bert Clendenin's church down in, I think it's Baytown or somewhere down there like that.
Beaumont,
yeah, okay. And Mother had bought Dad a new Bible. And Brother Clendenin told him to open to Matthew somewhere where it was all red letters. And I can just see my dad. Dad was a little fella. Kind of spunky. But he loved the Lord. He was sitting there and he opened his Bible and all of a sudden he looked at it. Those pages were blank. He thought, "My goodness." So they got in the car, and I just hear him. He said, "Ruth," that's what he called Mother, "Ruth, Ruth, that new, I've never seen anything like this in my life. That new Bible you bought me has got blank pages in it where it's supposed to be red pages in red letters in Matthew. And she says, "Cecil, they don't misprint Bibles. They don't sell Bibles that are misprinted." He says, "Honey, it's just not there. It's plain." He said, "Look, I'll show you." So he opens the Bible. And all of a sudden, all those red letters were there. And he says, "I don't understand that." And he told me about it. And I realized that in Berkeley Methodist Church, they have big stained glass windows. and it was morning service. And when the sun shined through that stained glass window and it fell on that red pages, the red lettering, it caused them to disappear. Now that's what God does with our sins. Do you see why He says He puts it in the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered again? Because He can't see them in the blood of Jesus. I'm free. I'm cleansed. Does that give me a license to go do what I want to? Get real, dipstick. You know better than that. Paul says, what's it say then? Because grace does abound. Where sin does abound, that grace much more abounds. He says, does that mean that we can just go sin because grace is sufficient? He said, God forbid. Know you not. I like to use a redneck. Don't you know, stupid, that whoever you submit your lives to, whether under sin or under righteousness, whoever you submit to is your master. God wants you to realize that you have the authority, not because you're perfect, not because there's not things in your life that don't come up to par from what you think they ought to. But you allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you day by day as you walk with Him and you walk out to the outside what God puts on the inside. And that's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness. He chose you. God don't make mistakes, folks. Every one of you, I think it was Deborah said, all of us are unique. That's the name of the ministry that I started back in 1994. Unique Ministries. Because every person that I dealt with was unique. God had a purpose for every one of them. And He's got a purpose for you. But our righteousness is of the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's stand. I could go on and on because I'd never get through. But I just have to stop sometimes. Okay, Lord. I am. You ain't convincing me. I am. Oh, that's better. I am. The righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through His strength. Not my strength, but His strength. In my weakness, His strength. His power, His anointing is made manifest. There is nothing, neither height, nor depth, nor powers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Father, I thank You. Because I know I've become one with who I believe. I believe Your word is truth. And I ask You to set a guard on my mouth. Help me to be aware. To bring my thoughts into obedience to Christ. And Your word. Help me to walk. I can't run. I want to be a racehorse. But God, You called me to plow the field. Help me to walk it out. Help me to call that which is not as though it were, so it shall be. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you're the one I want to please. You're the one I want to please. I want to be a yielded vessel. Meet for the master's service. Make me a vessel of honor for your glory and my good and the good of those that come my way. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, I've never said that. I know it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creation. That means I'm brand new, folks. I am a new creation in Him. Old things, all that junk, all that stuff I used to be, is passed away. Behold, redneck means that. Look at here. Look at here. Come on, let's do y'all do better.
Look at here.
All things are new. I will walk step by step with the Lord. I will be patient with myself because God's not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. And He will perfect. He will finish what He started in me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You and praise You because of Your love and Your mercy and the blood of Jesus. We ask You, Lord, to give us traveling mercies as we depart from this place. Help us to know, Master, that You are a constant abiding presence. Wherever we go, whatever we do, You're there. You're with me. Your Word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you, even unto the very end. And I know this is not the end, because I'm still here. So if I'm still here, Lord, You're here. Somebody says, why do you do that? Because I want you to hear yourself say it. Because when you say it, you believe it. If you say it, when the enemy comes and starts giving you those thoughts and those things and tries to create that confusion, say what God says. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power. And of what? And of what? Of love and a sound mind. You say that. You quote God's Word. And when you speak it, then it goes into your heart and plants a seed. And pretty soon, out of the abundance of the heart, the abundance means the thing that you planted in there the most is what's going to grow the most. Remember, if it's coming out of your mouth, who's in charge of it? You are. You are. I can't do it for you. But the Word of God works. I have translated, especially in the last 25 years, this Word into living reality. I know that it works. Do I ever get knocked down? Don't ask my wife. But you know what I do when I fall? I get up. I start walking again. And I know that when he looks at me, he sees me perfect. He sees me pure. He sees my faults and my failures and my sins as white as snow. And they're in sea of his forgetfulness. I used to go back and repent. And I said, Lord, forgive me. He said, forgive me for what? I said, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I've already forgiven you. I don't remember it.
Amen.
So don't remind me. The devil wants to remind you so that he can bring you into condemnation. Because when you begin to condemn yourself, then you don't have faith to approach God. I could preach another sermon, but I'm going to quit there. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you. I speak your peace that passeth all understanding to the hearts and the lives of those that are here today. Lord, let your presence be known in their midst. Everywhere they go, Lord, help them to acknowledge the fact that you're there. Your word says to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding of things that's propped up around our circumstances, but in all of our ways, that means wherever we are, whatever's going on, to acknowledge with our mouth, Lord, you're here. And you will direct our path. I speak blessings on everyone here in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Come back and bring a dozen people with you. God will work on them too. Bless you, folks. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.